Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal. We're going to deal with sixes today. We're going to deal with an event, a big event, something that's going to happen. Very interesting what the Bible is going to reveal to us if we'll just pay attention to what it says, how it says things. I'm hesitant a little bit to do the study. Because there might be some people who disagree with some things I'm going to point out. If you do, that's no big deal between me and you, unless you say, well, you know, the Bible's originally got mistakes in it. Then, you know, that is a big deal. But I believe the Bible is inerrant. I believe that you believe the Bible is the inerrant Word of God, and it is going to reveal to us things to come. The Holy Spirit is going to show us things to come. Revelation chapter 6, we're dealing with the seals. Remember, here's a book. In God's right hand, we have the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who alone is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals. And so he does that, and he is in the process right now of taking those seals off. And this is interesting. Let's read the verse here, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, because there's going to be a numerical progression and a numerical purpose, I guess, in what Christ is doing here. It always follows the pattern laid out for us in the scriptures. If you follow this ministry, you know that I think the numbers in the Bible mean something. I think the patterns, the way that God does things, is as important as what he's doing. God always has a way. In fact, that's what the early church was called. It was called the way, or this way. Jesus said, I am the way. And so how God does things is as important as what he's doing, and they always go hand in hand. So we have the opening of the first four seals, and it's interesting that they're grouped together by way of the horses and their riders, and we covered that. So we deal with the number four, the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, and all these things that are taking place. I believe not only in numerical progression, but I would have to say also in chronological progression as well. And the Bible has chronologies in it. It has a chronological order. First and second, we have the first Adam, then the second Adam, and they didn't, you know, switch at any place. So I believe in chronological orders. Now, we have the first four, and then there's a separation between the first four opening of the seals. Then we have the number five with the fifth seal. The number five, here we have when the fifth seal is open, he sees under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held, which I just now remembered I was going to deal with that. Not ready yet today, but maybe we'll back up at the next study. But anyway, the opening of the fifth seal, here's all these murdered Christians, okay? Well, you look at Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, the five-point plan of Lucifer. And one of them, he said that he would sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. In other words, I believe the devil wants to conquer and control the church. No doubt in my mind about it. And he wants to murder those who stand in his way. And so we have this number five. By the way, Jesus, when he was murdered, and he was, when Jesus was slain and his blood shed, he was pierced five times, once in each hand, once in each foot, and once in his side. And it's interesting because a wound in his side, we have Adam, who a rib is taken out. It's interesting that there's a couple instances in the Bible where someone is slain by being stabbed under their fifth rib. I always think that's a story that kind of relates to that. And so anyway, we have the number five giving us a little bit of wisdom about what this fifth seal represents. And now we have, beginning in verse 12, the opening of the sixth seal. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. So we're going to be dealing with, and I'm not going to deal a whole lot with it today, but I want you to think along these lines, the meaning of the number six as it pertains to the scripture. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Let's make a note here. There was an earthquake, okay? We're talking about an event that takes place. By the way, there was a TV show. Lasted, I think, one season. It was called The Event, and it ended up, fairly interesting that, you know, it was one of these TV shows that dealt with alien-human hybrids. The aliens are coming down, and they've mated with human people, and they have all these hybrid babies running around. And I'm going, yeah, I've seen that before. Where have I seen that? Genesis chapter 6. That's where it is. So anyway, at the end of the series, I mean, it just ended it. At the end of the series, you have a whole their alien planet actually flying through space and coming to Earth. Okay, so you have these aliens coming down. So think about that. There's an earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. So we have an earthquake. We have the sun being darkened, turning black like sackcloth of hair. Moon becoming red like blood. Okay? And then we have verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even, and here's that word. I love this word in the Bible. In the King James Bible, we have the word as, A-S. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Think about it. Think about the language of the King James Bible. The fact that, and hopefully already in your mind you're going, earthquake, sun being dark and moon turned to blood, and a mighty wind. Where have I seen that before in the Bible? Okay, we're going to get there. So anyway, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Every mountain and island were moved out of their place. So I want you to think about this. I mean, this is going to be a big event. It's not like a branch fell in your backyard and nobody cared. Okay, we're talking about something literally that the entire world is going to take note of. That's just what I see here. Okay, I mean, you have the earth, you have every mountain. That's what it says. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And if you know anything about plate tectonics, okay, I like using these big words. Plate tectonics is that the crust of the earth, the land that you and I are on right now, all of it's moving, okay? Moves just a little bit, and every now and then it moves and puts pressure. One plate puts pressure on another plate, and what happens is they slip a little bit, and that releases great amounts of energy, and there's an earthquake, and you know all this stuff that happens. And so anyway, so there's going to be an earthquake, and the sun is going to become black, and the moon's going to turn to blood. Stars are going to fall to the earth, and mountains and islands, okay, land masses are going to be shifting, okay? So let's, we're going to go in places in the scripture. And this is one of the things years ago that God really, really helped me with, because I had it in my mind that the only prophetic books, really, you know, in the whole Bible were like Revelation and Daniel. And I wasn't really searching anywhere else for understanding a Bible prophecy. I've since come to the conclusion, the biblical conclusion, that the entire Bible is prophetic. God says he declares the end from the beginning. You go by all the way back to the Genesis, the creation week. There are prophecies there. There are typologies there. All of these things are there to show us things to come. And so we're going to look in other places in the Bible, and we're going to see this event taking place, how it was prophesied, what is prophesied along with it. In other words, how God's going to do it, what he's going to do, and in some cases, why he's going to do it. And so the first place I want to go, remember, we have some elements here. We have the earthquake, we have the sun and the moon, and we have the stars. By the way, let me say this, okay? Stars are angels, and I think I have a note on this. You know, I don't think I'll get to it today, but just remember, stars are angels. And let's look very quickly in Revelation chapter 12. The Bible says in verse 4, and his tail, meaning the dragon, His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So here we have the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Okay, so I think that this is related to this. Okay, it's what I think. And it's also mentioned in the book of Daniel too, and we'll get to that shortly. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 13. Let's look at some things that are associated with this event. And I believe that by the language of the King James Bible that God is linking all these things for us together. We're seeing a different way of looking at the same event. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1, this starts out with the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. And I want us to pick it up in verse 8. So we know it has to do with Babylon. Actually, I want to go to verse 6. Verse 6 says, "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand." There's that phrase again, the day of the Lord is at hand. You actually see that same phrase used in the book of Joel. What does Joel deal with? Think about it. We'll get there. "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt." And I want you to just consider this for a minute. Here we have everybody on the earth, and everybody is texting and using their mechanical devices and electronic devices, and they're playing video games, and they're eating large amounts of food, and everybody's just happy and living it up, just like in the days of Noah, and they're having parties and everything else, and nobody cares about God. Nobody cares about the cross. Nobody cares about being saved. Nobody cares anything. God, who's God? I'm God, okay? This is what mankind is doing right now. Then all of a sudden, okay, everything's all hunky-dory until this happens. So think about just a scenario on the earth where all of a sudden there's a massive earthquake. And I'm not just talking about Japan or Haiti or Chile. I'm talking about a massive earthquake that rocks the entire earth. One place in the scripture, the Bible says that the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. Okay? So just think about that, because Revelation 6, when this seal is open, every mountain and island removed out of their place. Okay, so now we're looking at all hands shall be faint and every man's heart shall melt. That kind of has a sobering effect on people. It's like a real buzzkill. Okay, so anyway, verse 8, listen to this. "They shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth." Are you with me on this? Let's go. Oh, let's see. Let's go find our buddy. Let's see here. We're in the New Testament. I'll get there in a second. Hang on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Okay, that's what he says here. He says a destruction, verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 13, a destruction from the Almighty. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And when you compare that to back in Revelation chapter 6, let's see here. At the opening of the sixth seal, you see that when this takes place, the kings of the earth, great men and the rich men and the chief captains, mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks and the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For as the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? They don't find an escape here either. Okay, just hiding in the rocks and so on. And so here we have the travailing woman prophecy. And think about, and I kind of talked about this a little bit in the Watchman broadcast we just did concerning the birth of the man-child. Anytime you have a birth, you have a woman giving birth. And when a woman gives birth, she is in travail. John chapter 16, the woman who has sorrow in her heart, in delivery and pain to be delivered, but then once the baby is born, you know, she rejoices that the man child has been born. And I think, okay, and just kind of hear me out on this, okay? I don't do this very often, okay? but I'm going to float a theory. Okay? The coming of the Lord, the appearing, okay, and the coming of the Antichrist, pretty much the same time, okay? Just kind of floating an idea out there, okay? That's kind of what I see. Here we have sudden destruction coming, a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And then back in Isaiah chapter 13, they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another, and their faces shall be as flames. Okay? Something that I want to study this year is fire and flames in the Bible. You know all these charismatic Joel's Army Dominion websites and churches and ministries, they all use flame. And a fire is like their logo. And I'm just going, I don't know about that, okay? And I know the Lord God is a consuming fire and this and that and the other. But I know what's on fire in the Bible, okay? So anyway, then in verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, there's that phrase, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. Verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. I think it's interesting here that the sun is a he and the moon is a she in this verse. In the Masonic emblem, I don't have it here, but the Masonic emblem of like Jachin and Boaz, or the fusion of opposites, you'll always see a sun and a moon, and there's like bridged together, like by the Royal Arch of Freemasonry, things like that. So it's like male and female here. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Verse 11, and I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. Now notice that the world and the wicked, okay, and the proud and the haughtiness of the terrible, okay, notice that these are laid out against the world, the wicked, the proud, the arrogant, and the terrible people. Okay, that's who this is for. And then he says in verse 13, therefore I will shake the heavens. Okay, let's go. The stars of heaven fell into the earth, as even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken. Same word. Of a mighty wind. So this points us to this, and this points us back to this. In the wrath, therefore I will shake the heavens. How is God going to shake the heavens? A mighty wind. Okay, think about that story. Let's see here. I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. So study, and really, you know, all I want to do in doing Bible studies like this is to get you to study, get you to open up the Bible so that you go, I didn't know that was there. And then that gives you a hunger. It's kind of like taking you to a new restaurant. Okay. Now, I'll say this. There is a pizza place here in the St. Louis area called Emo's Pizza. This is not a commercial for them because they have a competitor called Cecil Whitaker's, and they're about the same. So anyway, but we have Emo's Pizza, and it's called St. Louis-style pizza. It's not Chicago pizza. It's not New York pizza. It's not California pizza with tangerines on it. It is St. Louis-style pizza, and it's very unique, and I can tell you that it is amazing. So I had a visiting evangelist in here, Brother Jeremy Howe. Great man of God. I love him dearly. And he was from Arkansas, and he'd never had Emo's Pizza. And I took him to Emo's Pizza. And he said, I came up here just for this. And when I come back, I'm coming back just for Emo's Pizza. He didn't know what he was missing until I said, you have got to try this. Okay? So what I want to do in everything that I do, whether it's a watchman broadcast, Bible study, sermon, teaching, you know, the online broadcast, Bible Truth Radio, whatever. What I want to do is I want you to taste this. I want you to taste this. This is really good. Just do what the Bible says. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I want you to taste this now, Isaiah 13, as it's spiced up by Revelation chapter 6. And I think you'll like it. I think you'll go back to the scriptures for more, and that won't hurt you. I promise you it won't. Now, so we have the earthquake. We have the sun, and we have the moon, and the stars falling, and we have travail, and we have the shaking of the stars and a mighty wind. Let's go to the book of Joel, okay? The book of Joel. And Joel is going to take us where? Okay? I think you should be able to figure this out now. By now. Joel chapter 2. Now, Joel chapter 2, we have the prophecy of the locust army, which is the army of Joel chapter 2. We have the trumpets, okay, which is going to come after these seals are open. Okay? We have, if you look in Joel chapter 2, with this army that comes out, we have the earth shall quake before them. Okay, so look at it. We have in Revelation 6, we have the earth quaking. Then in Revelation 9, we have the locust army coming up out of the pit. Okay, so just think about this. Put it all together. By the way, they come in the windows like a thief. Think about that one for a while, okay? Jesus said, I'm the door of the sheepfold. Anybody wants to come in, they come in by me. But a thief won't come in that way. He'll come in some other way, like a window, okay? So think about that. The earth shall quake before them, and the heavens shall tremble, shaking and trembling. Pretty much same thing in the Bible. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw. They're shining. And then look over in verse 28, Joel chapter 2. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. By the way, I'm going to throw this in here too, since I'm having so much fun. I've missed doing this study. I took some time off, and we had family necessities to take care of. And appreciate everybody's prayers. We still need them. He's getting back to, he said that wonders. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Okay? You want to know what those are? Don't let, who is this guy? Oh, I can't think of his name. He's the guy that puts out all the information about the face on Mars, okay? I can see his face. I can't remember his name. But some of you know who I'm talking about. Don't believe what everybody else says about what's going to be a wonder in heaven. The Bible will define the Bible. The Bible will define the Bible better than I define the Bible or anybody else out there defining the Bible. Revelation chapter 12, there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Well, there's one of them right there. Okay, then there appeared another wonder in heaven. Well, there's another. That's two. Okay, so that's plural. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. There's the sun turned into darkness. And the moon into blood. There's the moon into blood. Revelation chapter 6, the opening of the sixth seal. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord come, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. Where was Jesus crucified? Mount Zion, Jerusalem. The deliverance comes by way of the cross of Jesus Christ. And in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, we're not ready to go to the book of Acts yet. You were probably had your hand right there. So here again, Isaiah. We have close to the same language. The sun darkened, moon darkened, stars falling, the heavens shaken, there's a mighty wind, travailing woman, all of this stuff. Okay? Now, here is where, you know what? I ought to just tell you to read these three chapters out of the Bible. And I'll go hide somewhere, because undoubtedly somebody is going to have this major problem with me even suggesting this. And I'm just following the language trail of the Scriptures is all I'm doing. And I want you to, and let me tell you where my heart is on this. I'll tell you, and I'm just being straightforward and honest with you. When God called me into this ministry back in 1997, a lot of you have heard my testimony. I was going to go. God was telling me we were going to study prophecy. I'm going, awesome. I'm going to go to the Christian bookstore, and I'm going to buy books on prophecy, and I'm going to read what so-and-so here says and such over here says, and I'm going to put it together, and I'm going to take their stuff and use it. And God said, no, you're not. I wrote a book, and I'm going to show you great and mighty things if you'll ask me. Well, God made me hungry, and I was, at a time in my life, I was extremely hungry. And so I just began to ask God questions, and one of the things that I did, okay, and it won't hurt you. It won't hurt you to do this if you'll do it God's way, if you'll call upon the Lord and ask God questions, and then decide that you don't really know it all. Okay? You don't really know it all, like you think you do. You see, the abundance of knowledge is just pride, is what it is. Oh, I know that. I know that. And it dawned on me, really, that in order for me to learn, if I was going to learn some things from God, I had to pretend like I didn't learn anything from anybody else. So I took out all the theories. Okay, all the eschatological, that's a big word. Eschatology means the study of the eschatos, the end days. I threw out all the eschatological presuppositions out the door. And I said, God, I'll be whatever you, if you put it back your way, I'll be that. And at one point I even said, God, if you want me to be an amillennial, I'll be an amillennial for Jesus. Okay, and what I found out was amillennialism is fairly decent about finding the symbolism in Scripture. They just have a real hang up with the substance. Okay, that's their biggest problem. And but I did. I just covenanted with God that I was going to let God teach me and not other men. Sort of like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians that when he was converted on the road to Damascus, he went and visited with Peter, but he stayed away 14 years. I believe he talks about that as the time frame. 14 years, the Apostle Paul didn't confer with the other apostles. He didn't go to their Bible college. He didn't read their books and magazines and periodicals and watch their videos. He learned revelations from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that Paul had an abundance of revelations. Paul was being shown mysteries that no man had ever seen before. But God also gave him a thorn to go with that, because God knew that Paul was full of pride. That was in his nature, okay? Paul wasn't a woman chaser. He wasn't a liquor drinker. He didn't have a problem with swearing and cursing out of his tongue. He was not a liar. He was not a thief. He was a murderer. But Paul was full of pride. He was zealous for the law, and God had to break him over that. And here Paul is getting all these revelations from God, and God will not allow him to get proud about it, because he leaves a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And so that's what Paul did, and that's the approach that I've taken, is that I want to be traditional and orthodox and everything else. Yeah, I'm conservative in doctrine, I'm conservative in lifestyle and everything else, but I've decided to follow where I believe the Scriptures are leading, and not the charts and how the charts are all drawn. And I'm not saying anything bad against them. I'm just saying I'm going to show you something here that will contradict a lot of very traditional teaching on the translation of the church, the time frame of the end, and so on. So, and I've had people ask me, okay, Pastor Mike, let's get it down here. When is the rapture? Are you going to pre-mid or pre-mid post this and that? When is the rapture going to happen? And I've learned to give a biblical answer to this. And it's not a dodge either. It's just I'm answering biblically. That's the only way I know how to answer. It's going to happen at the last trump. That's exactly what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. And some of you are going, I can't handle that. Ah. Well, that's, I'm just going by what it says. Matthew chapter 24, all right? I'm going to teach something tonight in our church I've got a verse in my mind here. This is one of those days where I could just sit here for hours and talk about this old King James Bible. I just got verses in my heart. Titus chapter 2, verse 15. This God dealt with me about this morning, about being hesitant to teach some biblical principles out of the Bible. And that's me. I got a little scaredy cat nature about me. And Paul says in Titus chapter 2, verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I'm going to ask you that you not despise me and despise our work here simply because you heard it one way for years and I'm not going to back that up. Okay? Don't despise me for that. Pray about it. Go to the Lord. Say, God, who's right here? I'm not above correction. I think he's a pastor. And he's writing me some very, very interesting emails. And he's not being confrontational, but he's challenging me on an issue that I have talked about before. And he's doing a good job of it. I'm not above correction, so long as we stick with scriptures. Here's the scriptures. Remember, sixth seal opens. We have earthquakes. Sun darkened, moon blood, stars falling, wind blowing, figs. Okay, we got all of those things. Listen to Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation, everybody says, see, it's after the tribulation. I don't mean to be this way. After the tribulation of those days. Now, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I'm going to challenge you to do this. Before you ever write me a letter, email, or say, take me off your list, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I'm going to challenge you to show me scripturally how long this phrase, tribulation, is like. I think it's like 22 times in the Bible, 27 if you add the plural, tribulations. If you can show me the verse that determines the length of the tribulation of those days. Okay, show me the verse. Actually, I need two of them, two witnesses. Let's just put the charts over here. Okay, let's just set it aside now and look at what Jesus, our chief apostle, our bishop, told us this. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. And I believe that he's referencing many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. Kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, and diverse places. Okay? Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. Check number one. And the moon shall not give her light. Check number two. That's what was in Isaiah chapter 13. And the stars shall fall from heaven. Here they are. The stars of heaven fell into the earth. This is the same thing. And the powers of the heavens shall be, there's that word, shaken again. We saw it here. We saw it in Isaiah 13. We saw it in Joel chapter 2. We see this in different places in the Bible. Okay? And then verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. I don't have time. We talked about this, but behold, he cometh in the clouds. Way back, the beginning of our study in Revelation, we talked about the clouds. We actually have a DVD called The Clouds. If you don't have that, we'll get it to you. That shows you the sign of the Son of Man. And then shall all the sign of the Son of Man appearing is he's in the clouds. Okay, then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I'm just going to read Scripture. Okay? Read Scripture, Mike. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So here is the clouds. and with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Well, we saw that back in Joel, and we see it in Revelation. Remember, let me just keep going. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. See, we got sun darkened and moon and stars falling and figs, and we have all of that stuff. And mourning. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You see, I think that this is related to this and this and this. That's what I'm looking at in the scriptures. Do I have it all worked out as far as now on day 45 of the tribulation? I don't have that. I'm looking at what this says. Let's go to the second witness, Mark chapter 13. Oh, Mark, who went with Paul and on a missionary journey and fell out, couldn't handle it. Paul was intense, and Mark, he fell out. He couldn't take it. And so after a while, Mark wanted to go back with Paul, and Paul said, I ain't taking you nowhere. Can't trust you. Okay. Then we have Barnabas, who said, you know what? Mark, come with me. Barnabas was, still doing the Lord's work, but he just was probably a little bit more laid back about it. And we have the book of Mark in our Bibles because of a man by the name of Barnabas. And I don't fault Paul in any way. Paul was Paul. Paul was being Paul. Not everybody can be Paul. Okay? Mark chapter 13, verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation. Look up the word tribulation. Look at it in the scriptures alone. Just the word tribulation all throughout the scriptures. Remember, I want you to taste this and see if you like it. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, check. And the moon shall not give her light, check. And the stars of heaven shall fall, check. And the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken, check. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. There it is. Okay. Do we have another witness here? Ah, yes. The book of Acts. Let's go now to the book of Acts. Okay. And we're going to wrap it up here. I am going to draw no conclusions. Okay. Because I don't see everything. Okay. I don't have a 40 terabyte hard drive in my brain that has total instant recall of every bit of data from the scripture. I don't have that. Oftentimes things that I'm learning more and more to take notes, because things I study this morning, if I don't note them and take, in fact, you know, they're gone. Okay. It's the way my brain is. And so I draw no conclusions on today's study. I only encourage you, do your own work. Do your own work. Do your own study. Okay? That's what I'm trying to get people to do. Study the scriptures. Read the Bible. So now, Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Let me go back here. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. That is exactly what it says in Revelation chapter 6, verse 13, when the sixth seal is opened. Mighty wind. Okay? So the sound is a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. By the way, what was it that took Elijah up into heaven? Okay? It was a whirlwind. Now, let's see here. Verse 17. So all of these things, they're speaking in tongues, and all these things happen. And now here's Peter doing exactly what preachers are supposed to do, no more and no less. All of us are supposed to look at what's going on in the world and say, this is that which was spoken. When people come to us and need counseling from us, I'm not a psychiatrist, a psychotherapist, a psychoanalyst, a sociologist. I'm not anything like that. When they come to me for biblical counseling and they tell me what's going on, and they tell me what's going on, I'll say, this is that which was spoken. I can only show them what's in the Scripture. So that's what Peter said. He's setting the tone for biblical preaching. And so he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out of those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, there's those wonders again, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. So think about it, okay? And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want you to think about this now, okay? So here we have Christ who is, he's wanting to come. He's going to come, okay? He's opening the book first, loosing the seals. And as these seals now are loosed, things are happening. The event is taking place. Now, I told you that we don't have time to do it. We're going to deal with it probably next week. Or I had already promised to talk about the word of their testimony, which I might kind of put in together. Let me write this down here. Hopefully I won't forget it. Because I think the two go hand in hand. I'll mention, since we're dealing with the sixth seal, alien agenda, Genesis 6, okay, Revelation 12, things like that. And then I'm going to put in why these people were killed for the word of their testimony, okay? Because I think it all has something to do with genetics, genetic manipulation, okay? Yes, 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 I believe that. So anyway, study these scriptures, people. Study them out. Okay, learn again. Take the charts and the timelines that all these. And I'm saying some of these probably were good men. Okay, and I hate to disagree with them, and I'm not sure that I do. Let's just take them and set them aside, and then let's look at how God lays this out, and maybe, just maybe, God will give us a little bit more wisdom today and tomorrow than we had yesterday. That's my hope for me. That's my hope. For you. This is Pastor Mike. I love you. I appreciate you. Don't despise me, because I'm just going to stick with what this book says. I love you. We'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.